Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call of Bharat Parenterals Limited, hosted by PhillipCapital PCG. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Prachi from PhillipCapital India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of PhillipCapital Private Limited, I welcome all of you to Quarter 4 and FY25 earnings conference call of Bharat Parenterals Limited. Today, from the management side, we have Mr. Bharat Desai, Chairman and Managing Director of the company, Mr. Bhim Desai, Director of Strategy and IR of the company. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Bharat for his opening remarks, and since it's your first con call, can you just elaborate about the company? And then we will open up the floor for question and answer. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Prachi. Very good afternoon. I am Bharat Kumar Desai, Chairman and Managing Director of Bharat Parenterals Limited. A very warm welcome to everyone. I would especially like to thank PhillipCapital for organizing today's meeting and giving us this opportunity to engage with you all. It's a real pleasure to have you here today, and I want to start by thanking you for taking the time to meet with us. We truly value the opportunity to share our story and vision and to hear your thoughts as well. At Bharat Parenterals Limited, we have always believed that we are not just making pharmaceutical products, but we are contributing to better healthcare outcomes. That is a responsibility we take very seriously. Over the past 3.5 decades, we have steadily built a reputation for quality and reliability, and today we stand at a very interesting juncture in our journey. Our focus over the last few years has been to transform Bharat Parenterals to a well-renowned, future-ready pharmaceutical organization. We have made strategic moves to strengthen our position in complex injectables and critical care products, areas we believe will be key growth drivers globally. One of the biggest steps in that direction has been setting up a new facility with the name Enoxel Life Sciences Private Limited. Many of you might already know that Enoxel is our flagship CDMO company, purposed to build a regulated market. I am proud to share that just last week, Enoxel successfully completed its first U.S. FDA inspection at our new facility, Enoxel Life Sciences, near Vadodara, with only a single minor observation. The big achievement and big milestone for us, it validates that hard work our team has put into building a world-class facility, compliant facility from the ground up, and it sets the stage for us to start tapping into high-value opportunities in regulated markets. Enoxel is focused on manufacturing of complex injectables like long-acting formulations, oncology products, and 505(b)(2) molecules. We have a robust pipeline and are working closely with partners to bring innovative products to the market, both through out-licensing and contract manufacturing deals. On the domestic side, Varianium Healthcare Private Limited continues to grow steadily with a strong presence in the critical care segment, which is anesthesia and pain management, and deep relationships across India's top hospital chains. Varianium complements our manufacturing strengths and provides a solid base in the domestic market. We are also planning to expand into other therapeutic segments, adding more niche products and having a deeper penetration into the domestic market over the next 2-3 years. In addition, we are developing Varenium Biolifesciences, which will focus on regulated emerging markets. The idea is because the INOXL Life Science will not be able to cater the need of the whole SRA countries. Our more focus area from the INOXL is U.S. and some of the EU market. So the remaining SRA countries, we will be catering from the Varenium Biolifesciences, which will focus on the regulated and emerging markets. The idea is to fully leverage the products and capabilities we have built at INOXL and extend our reach globally, creating a well-diversified, de-risked business model. I think what really sets us apart is our commitment to doing things the right way, whether it is quality, compliance, or simply the way we do business. We have built a strong foundation, and we are clear about where we want to go. We see a lot of opportunity ahead, especially as the global healthcare ecosystem increasingly looks for reliable, high-quality partners in complex injectable space. We look forward to sharing more insight with you today and having an open, constructive discussion. I will hand over to Bhavin, who will take you through our financial performance in detail and outline our outlook for the future. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon to one and all present on this call and to everyone who may be listening at a later point. I would like to thank Phillip Capital again for their support on the same. I would also like to say that this is our first earnings call and it gives us immense pleasure to start this journey with you all. I will now quickly talk about the financial numbers of Q4, FY25 and FY25 broadly. The company reported standalone revenues of 318.7 crores in FY25, reflecting a solid 19.8% increase from 266.02 crores in FY24. In Q4, FY25, standalone revenues reached 82.54 crores, up from 68.88 crores in Q4 FY24, reporting a growth of 20%. EBITDA for FY25 stood at 48.14 crores, growth of 17% from 41 crores in FY24. EBITDA margins remain flat at 15.9% in FY25 in comparison to FY24. The PAT for FY25 came in at 26.58 crores compared to 22.58 crores in FY24, indicating a growth of 17%. On a consolidated basis, BPL reported FY25 revenues of 352 crores, representing a strong 32% growth over FY24's 265.9 crores. This was primarily due to milestone-based income at INOXL and the consolidation of Varenium Healthcare in the last 5 months of FY25. Now, before we can head into the Q&A, I would like to talk a little bit more on BPL and its subsidiaries. As Sir has already given a few details on all of them, I would be taking you a little bit into a little bit more details. Bharat Parenterals is a 3.5-decade plus legacy business into manufacturing and exports of pharmaceutical finished dosage forms. Started by my grandfather initially in the 90s, the business has stood the test of time and today is the anchor for itself as well as its three subsidiaries. From exports to a single country in the year 2000 to more than 40 countries today, BPL is a manufacturing powerhouse with presence on four continents. With core competencies of the organization into injectables, the company also has various other dosage forms in oral and topical categories. Throughout the journey, the company has maintained high quality standards and always undertaken major upgrades to stay up to date with the current as well as the future regulatory requirements. BPL has three subsidiaries, two of which are wholly owned subsidiaries, while one is a major subsidiary. Inoxil Life Sciences is a major subsidiary of BPL, which was set up with the intent of catering to the regulated markets, mainly the United States and the Western European countries. As sir had previously updated, Inoxil has successfully completed its USFDA inspection with only one minor observation. This feat was also achieved in record time. Construction was started at the site in April of 2021, and in April end 2025, the plant successfully completed its first USFDA audits. This remarkable feat in 4 years' time showcases our commitment to getting it right the first time. The EU GMP audits at the site are lined up for FY26 with confirmed dates in H1 of FY26. Inoxil is a new CDMO, mainly in injectable and oral liquid space. It has two separate blocks in general as well as oncology. Initially, we started with 20 to 22 products in the development pipeline, and the management is aiming to take this number to around 40 to 45 products over the next 3 to 4 years. Out of the 22 products initially that was started, we have successfully partnered with various clients which are medium to large pharma giants based in the United States and the EU for 10 of our products so far. And we expect to partner several of our other products in the coming months. These products are either complex ANDAs or 505(b)(2)s. The complexity of the products selected by Inoxil will ensure that only a handful of companies will either enter these projects or would have a facility to enter these projects, thus ensuring limited competition and limited price erosion. Moving on to Varenium Healthcare. Varenium Healthcare is a branded generic marketing company with focus on the domestic markets within India. Currently, it is in top 5 when we talk about anesthesia, pain management, and critical care products. Varenium was the first company in India to launch Sugammadex molecule in joint venture effort with BDR Pharmaceuticals. Currently, there are about 45 brands already in the market and presence in almost all of top corporate hospital chains in the country, along with multi-specialty hospitals and nursing homes in metro, mega, and tier 1 and tier 2 cities across India. The company aims to start 2 other divisions in other therapeutic segments over the next 2 to 3 years, thus leveraging the distribution and operations already in place. With BPL's acquisition of Varenium Healthcare, Varenium will be able to capitalize on the internal manufacturing prowess of BPL, which will help both the organizations in future growth in volumes and therapeutic segments. Moving on, Varenium Biolife Sciences is another greenfield project which is coming up with aim to cater to the emerging regulated markets like Brazil, Colombia, South Africa, Australia, to name a few. Varenium Biolife Sciences will be aiming to get EU GMP approval along with the other approvals and will be leveraging product baskets of Inoxil as well as of BPL to cater to various customers in these markets. The plant is expected to be operational by 2027 and the current pace of construction is in line with the same. To summarize, BPL will continue its efforts in increasing product and market penetration in the ROW markets and within India. Inoxil will be focused on the US and the EU markets. Varenium Health will continue to grow the domestic branded business, and Varenium Biolife Sciences will target the emerging regulated markets within LATAM, Africa, and Oceania regions of the globe. With this, the BPL group is very well poised, with each of the businesses having its focused target markets and product categories. Each of the businesses are non-conflicting, thus ensuring maximized value creation individually and collectively as a group. With the above, I will conclude my presentation and we can now head to the Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Dvij Patel from Fintrust Capital. You may proceed.
Hello, sir. So my first question would be, you know, could you throw some insight on, you know, the geographic landscapes that Inoxil and Verenium are, you know, working on? And for that, what kind of margins will we be able to, you know, achieve? You know, since Verenium is for emerging markets and Inoxil is for the developed markets like the US, so what kind of margins will we be able to see coming in?
Inoxil, we said, that would be primarily for the United States and a few selected Western European countries. The way in which the business is shaped up, we have two models, which is CDMO as well as CMO. CDMO model is where the products that we have developed in-house are out-licensed with a front-end marketing partner who would then be marketing these products in these geographies and would be paying three separate revenues to Inoxil. One would be the out-licensing fee. The second would be the commercial production cost of the products. And third would be a profit share. Now, depending on the product category size, the market opportunity, the time of entrance, the fee varies from a few hundred thousand dollars. I'm talking about the licensing fee, a few hundred thousand dollars to a few million dollars. The commercial manufacturing revenues may vary from 20% to maybe 30% in terms of the gross margins. And then the profit share varies from 10 or 15% all the way up to 50% based on the time of partnership as well as the investment that the partner or the company ourselves have done. So if I have to broadly give you one percentage figure, it would be very difficult since the model is quite complex. But I can say that the margins would be higher of 30% net at Inoxil for the US and the EU business. Coming to Verenium BioLife Sciences, since it is for the emerging regulated markets, these would be your either Central or Eastern European countries, Brazil, Colombia, South Africa and Australia and others, which are in the emerging market space but also under the regulated space. These would be a little bit lower in terms of margin realization in comparison to the US.
And you know, the major advantage with the Verenium BioLife Sciences will be the product are ready, you know. Here, the scaling up and the exhibit batch, that all process have been already done at Inoxil. So that will save considerable time and we will be able to easily tech transfer all these products. Development time and all that will be saved considerably.
Correct. Got it. Okay, sir. And, you know, I just wanted to confirm, we are a 51% holder in Inoxil. Is my understanding correct?
That was before the last round where we had right of first refusal and we took additional 10% stake at Inoxil, taking Bharat Parental's overall percentage at 56%.
56 plus. You know, like what kind of other partners are we associated with and, you know, are they helping us grow Inoxil?
We only are working with one other group. It's a technocrat group by the name of Seven Oaks. Primarily, they consist of 3 to 4 gentlemen and all are into varied other ancillary US-oriented businesses. One is a scientist who is developing all these products and is responsible for the innovations in product and R&D. The other gentleman works with a CRO for clinical end trial in terms of products which require a clinical oriented
The core area is oncology.
Yes.
At US.
The third partner has a GMP GXP consultancy company, which also is oriented for the US and the EU markets. And the fourth guy works with out-licensing and in-licensing deals and has also prior experience of US markets. So just one group consisting of four members, and the other group would be Bharat Parentals. It's a very straightforward structure.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you so much. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruvesh Sanghvi from Prospero Tree Asset Management. You may proceed.
Hello, Bharat Bhai and Bahin. Congratulations and thanks for hosting this call.
Thanks. Thank you, Dhruvesh.
Thank you. Thank you, Dhruvesh. How are you?
All good, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir. So, sir, a couple of questions. So, is my understanding right that so far we have done out-licensing agreements with partners worth 100 crores, out of which 25 crores is already recognized until 31st March 25, and 75 crores is pending, or is this number revised upwards?
No, no. So that's the number has been revised, and we are talking about two separate things. Like I was saying earlier, as you already know, that Enoxel consists of CDMO as well as CMO. So the numbers that you are referring to, 25 crores, not only is for the milestone payments of the CDMO, but also from the CMO business. So there is a, I would say that only 20% of the overall deals signed have been, the milestone payments have been realized, with the rest to follow between now and the next couple of years.
Okay. No, so, okay, can we put a number to both the kind of out-licensing arrangement or it's difficult because it is connected to CMOs?
Sorry, can you please repeat?
I'm saying, can we put a number to the out-licensing deals already signed? That so-and-so revenues will flow in next 2 years, or it is difficult because it is also linked to the manufacturing?
It's very difficult at this moment to give you that, you know, when and which year we'll be able to realize 100%. But,
I, as per the estimation, in the current year, since we see a way, we are giving very, you know, conservative figure about the deal sign. The milestone payment will be ranging between 70 to 75 CR. But CMO, everything depends on when we will get the license first to manufacture commercial. So that, you know, that CMO revenue we have not added since, you know, that is very, very difficult to know about. So I think what we have considered is only the licensing, the agreement licensing fees.
Sorry, understood. Understood.
And again, we have to understand that even in a CMO revenue, the timing of revenue is not really in our hands after approval as well, because our partners need to file the product with either the FDA or the EU and then further get approval from these authorities and then consecutively place the order for commercial batches. So, you know, there is a possibility of some delay based on their filings or the approval that we get towards the end of it. But what we have projected in this coming year for Enoxel, we are not counting the CMO revenues in this year. We are only looking for the milestone payments in this year, which, like sir said, would be around 70 CR.
Perfect. And on the margins, because you said that, of course, it is extremely difficult and there are three moving parts. But net-net, you said that if I have to put a ballpark number, it will be 30% net. Did you mean operating margins or net profit margin?
No. I didn't mean operating margins. I was referring to net margins. Around 30% of net margin is what I meant, yes.
Yeah, okay. I mean, just a clarification there, thanks. And
yeah.
If I may, just for the benefit, because this query has come up in general discussion also. So I believe we have done the capex of 250 crores. And if you can highlight what will be the capex required in Inoxcel, only in Inoxcel ahead, and what was the split, broad split of 250 crores in terms of lands, buildings and capitalized items like salaries and regulatory expenses. Some ballpark numbers, if you have it handy. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Yeah. So, yes. So the broad ballpark number is 250, correct? The gross block, if I have to consider the land and the plant and machinery, would be roughly around 200 crores. And the OPEX cost on would be around the balance of it, which would be comprising of R&D as well as employee cost, right? So that's a very broad number. On a detailed manner, maybe I can connect with you at a later point and give you all the details.
No, perfect, sir. And what is the planned CAPEX in the next 1 year in Inoxcel?
So there is, as such, as we speak, there is no planned capex except for one of the skids which we are installing for one of the projects. Since the skid installation is part of our deal that we have signed with our client, we are not considering into a direct capex at our end. So I would like to say that we don't have any planned capex in this coming year as of now.
Sure. So I have one more question related to Varinium Life Sciences. What is the status of CAPEX there?
So Varinium Biolife Sciences, we have projected the overall project to be between 120 to 150 crores. And that's the extent of it based on the lines that we have targeted as of now.
How much have we spent already there?
Around 30 crores is already spent. And rest is under... As we speak,
will, we, will we end up doing it in this 1 year or it will take more time?
Like I said, that by 27, the operational, we are ready to be operational at 27. And as of now, we are on track to meet that timeline. So construction should be completed in due course of time.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Brian.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arya from Prosperity. You may proceed.
Hello?
Yes?
Yeah, hi. Actually, my questions are answered. Thanks for the opportunity.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saloni M from Molecule Ventures. You may proceed. As there's no response from the current participant, we'll move on to the next participant. The next question is from the line of Shailesh Kumar, an individual investor. You may proceed.
Thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of housekeeping questions. What kind of pricing power do you enjoy in various markets you are operating in, and especially in the domestic market? I mean, do you get some kind of premium or... you have to you offer your product on the best pricing basis? That is the first question.
Okay.
Please
go ahead.
And the second question is capacity utilization across your various manufacturing facilities, including your Vadodara plant, a new Inoxcel injectable unit. These two are my questions.
Sure. So as far as the margins are concerned, see, we work with various markets as we have already spoken. For the ROW markets, the margins are always quite tight, but typically we work within a broad margin of 25 to 35% on export-oriented orders. When it comes to other regulated markets where we would be starting exports in due course of time, there the margins are obviously expected to be a little bit better and on a higher end. as far as domestic markets are concerned, domestic market, the area in which we operate is a high competition market because we deal directly with the hospitals and corporate chains. But again, I would like to say that we would be roughly around 30 to 35% in terms of margins when we talk about domestic business. And yes, there is obviously a brand goodwill which is created in the market through continuous working, constant quality that has been given in both in terms of product and in terms of service, which ensures that there that a branded generic is always fetching a better price than a PCD company selling the product directly in the market. So that would be my answer for the first part of the question. For the second part of the question, for capacity utilization, at currently Inoxylus 2, of an initial phase for me to give you an answer on capacity utilization, since commercial manufacturing and dispatches are still they've not started yet. But as far as Bharat Parenterals is concerned, I would say that we would be on an overall basis would be operating around 60-65% capacity. But individually on different lines, that way a value may vary because obviously not all lines are engaged equally at all given point in time.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Agarwal from 91 Capital. You may proceed.
Thank you, sir. And thank you for conducting the call. So firstly, I think you mentioned to the previous participant that some investment is left at the Inoxylus level. So, sir, can you help me? I couldn't listen to that particular part. How much money are we going to spend in this financial year on CapEx at Inoxylus?
No, I think, I'm sorry, but I instead said that there is no planned CapEx at Inoxylus for this particular year. I didn't say there was any okay. CapEx planned. Yeah.
Okay, so at Serenium, maybe I think you mentioned, I think 120 is what we are looking to spend. 30 is already correct. Spent. So the remaining 90 is what we are looking to spend in this financial year, FY26.
So 120 is the overall cost, 120 to 150, which is spent for Varenium BioLife Sciences. Since it's an ongoing project, I wouldn't say that 90 would be utilized in this year, but in the duration of between construction, validation, and hence the commercialization, that would be the overall expense that we are looking at. So for this year, maybe later at the second half of the year, I'll be able to give you a more accurate answer on what amount is spent or would be spent by end of this year.
Okay, and so for Inoxylus, you are saying for FY26, 70 crore kind of revenue from these licensing agreements. And correct. On that, you are expecting 30% kind of a post-tax margins, right? Like PAT margins.
No, sir. I was 30% would be overall once the commercial revenues start. Right now, we are looking to operationally break even in this FY26 at Inoxylus. And 70 crores in terms of our top-line revenue would be enough for us to operationally break even, which is our first milestone. And from next year and the year after that, we are expecting the revenues to increase significantly, which would then lead us to be profitable. And that number is what I was referring to earlier.
Okay. So just help us understand this thing that we spend 250 CR, you know, on the CapEx at the Inoxylus level. So we have 55% stake, right? And the remaining 45% stake is held by the R&D partners. So the understanding here is that the Bharat Parenterals will spend and undertake CapEx for the manufacturing and to develop all those capabilities, while the other partners who are our R&D partners, they'll bring their R&D and technology know-how, right? They won't be bringing any money or any investment per se into the Inoxylus.
I think this is a good understanding what you have said. I mean, it's more likely that.
Perfect.
No, sir, I think like
it's a very
add,
good arrangement.
I would also like to add that being said that in the past, they have brought in money as well. It's not only that they bring the tech, But yes, it's a good understanding overall what you just said.
Okay, okay. And so that team, you know, I'm sure you would have done your own homework on this. But if you can also help us understand about that R&D team, you know, how many products have they developed in the past, which areas, you know, are they expert of? So any data that you can share about their experience in developing these products?
I think we will not be able to give any data because it is totally against this our understanding. It's a confidential data of their own company, and that company is not a participant in this arrangement. You know, so it will not be appropriate for us to disclose anything on that. But having said, I can just give you an outline that they have developed almost 55-60 complex generics worldwide. They have given to good companies, and those all are good companies, you know, the top 200 companies in the world, you can say. I mean, those are their, the partners. Yeah.
Great, sir. Just a data question. You have 170 crore rupees of debtors, trade receivables. Of this, how much would this over 6 months?
In fact, around from the 180, you mean?
172, sir, to be precise. Trade receivables at the consolidated level, 172 CR.
So we'll have to break it down. As of now, I don't have that numbers in front of me. I can send that numbers shortly.
I can roughly tell you around 65-70 CR is older than 6 months, 180 days, and lately mainly there are the two government supplies. One is at Mozambique and one is at the Ghana. And both the countries underwent the election during last 8-9 months, and the new government in place has just started acting on. But I am more than sure that before end of the first quarter we will receive the entire sum. I mean that written communication we have got.
And sir, if I have an opportunity to ask one more question, you have 180 crore rupees of debt. So, sir, for this financial year, will we see that our debt levels increasing or not? Then, on what will be the yearly interest outgo? Do we see any challenge? Because we have a lot of investments to make, a lot of operating costs to incur, and 180 crore debt also to service. So any challenge that you see and any further equity dilution or fundraise that you guys plan for this year, financial 26?
See, if I would like to reply you, I mean, if you get these two the outstanding in the next 2 months, we will be more than at ease, because all other debts are the regular one, which are receivable within 90 to 100 days. And, so debt maintenance. And if you see that our average cost of, on the interest, it has not significantly increased. This year it is increased by 1 crore rupees. Against the 5.5, it is around 6.5, if I am not wrong. So, and this current year, I am more than sure that that will reduce significantly because we will get this realization and the utilization of the bank fund will be reduced a lot.
Correct. And also to answer your other question, we are, as of now, there is no planned fundraise or there is no requirement that we are looking for raising additional funds at this moment.
At BPL and...
Hello.
Yeah.
I couldn't listen to your last part, the last 10 seconds. I think there was some problem in the network.
I think it was the same thing, what I was repeating, that there is no requirement of any fundraise at this point.
Great, sir. Great. All the best, sir, for these two or three different entities. And look forward to connecting with you to the next quarters.
In fact, I am more than happy to tell that in last 13-14 months, to make sure that we are meeting the revised schedule and need as per the new directives of the DCGI. I am talking about the BPL, which is a 30-year-old facility. Inoxel is now USFD approved, so there is absolutely no. But I mean, whatever gaps were there, we have 100% met it, and we have spent almost 14 crore plus in last 13-14 months, which has taken care to upgrade, meet the revised schedule, and with the expanding our capacity in Bethlehem area in specific.
Okay. And, perfect, thank you so much.
We are opting for EU GMP for Bethlehem this year.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Gaurav.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Total Capital. You may proceed.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and congratulations for appealing FDA audit. It's a big milestone, surely.
Thank you.
Yeah. So my first question, sir, is that, you know, you mentioned that we have 20 products in Inoxel, which are developed out of that. 7, if I heard correctly, are kind of out-licensed or tied up.
10. That number is 10. Yeah.
That number is 10. Okay. So basically, sir, what I wanted to understand is, this 250 crore facility that you have put up, in order to fill the capacity, to an optimal level, how many products would you need to kind of commercialize to reach at the optimal level?
First of all, Dhwanil, am I getting your name right?
Yeah.
So the thing is that I was saying earlier that Inoxel has two models, which is CDMO as well as CMO. Now, CDMO is the model where we have our own products and our own development. And currently, we started with a basket of 20-22-watt products, which we intend to take it up to 40 to 45 in the next 3 to 4 years. Now, these are the products which are in general as well as onco category, but are one thing common in all of them is that they are complex and complexity-based products. Either it could be complex development or it could be complex manufacturing. That is the criteria that for us to select these products. So volumes are not something that we look at in terms of our own product that we develop. Second model is the contract manufacturing model, where we obviously take on products which our clients have developed and they are only looking to get it manufactured at our facility. So those are the products where the forecasts of these products are given by our clients and we manufacture for them. So there isn't any number that I can give you at this moment which can, maybe say like, put my facility at 80% utilization space as of now. But for the sake of clarity, what I can tell you that at this moment we can take at least have 40 or 50 of these programs running at the same time, and we would be at a comfortable utilization of our capacities and still have room for more in terms of taking on newer projects.
Got it. Now, the question on the CDMO side, I think in the model generally that is prevalent in the industry. So the registration will happen on Inoxel's name, or will it happen in the, the partner's name? How does that work? CMO, of course, you mentioned that the partner will take care of the registration.
Yes.
So how does it work in the CDMO side?
So Inoxel, since start, there is one thing that we have been very clear on, that Inoxel will not be owning the ANDAs or the 505B2 registrations. that would be on our partners. We would be partnering before at various stages of development, you know, and then ultimately the filing of the product would be our partner's responsibility. So to answer your question, the name on the ANDA or the 505(b)(2) would be our partners. It would not be of Enoxil.
Okay, got it. And in the pipeline that you have indicated in the Enoxil, I see lots of 505(b)(2) products, you know, and typically they're not very easy to make. So
correct.
What is it that we have done, you know, over the years to kind of come out with a product pipeline and a developed product basket to end up with, you know, such a impressive portfolio? What have we done right? Is it that the know-how brought in by the remaining partners in the firm have given us this, you know, kind of this kind of a product pipeline? Some thoughts on that?
Yeah, sure. So basically, yes, we have partnered with a group of technocrats, which we already said, and their experiences is primarily in to development of complex generics, and their past experiences and know-how of ensuring that, you know, these products right from development to tech transfer to manufacturing and then later on commercialization brings us that comfort level as well as that know-how at an Enoxil level. And that's how we have been able to, in a short span of time, build up a product portfolio which comprises of various difficult molecules. Both, again, I would like to say, we only don't have 505(b)(2)s. We have a good mix of complex ANDAs as well as 505(b)(2)s.
Got it. And last question. You mentioned that we are looking at some point in time, whenever capacity gets utilized to a good level, at 30% kind of a margin, net margin levels. But again, as you are saying that even if you run at 40, 45 programs, you will still have, you know, capacity available with you. So
correct.
It appears that the glide path to that 30% number is still 3-4 years away. You know, gradually we'll keep on improving margin. Maybe in the third or fourth year we'll reach that number. Is that a right way to think?
I would say no to that, because for us, what is important is that we get our products to the market as soon as possible. Since we work in our own products under the CDMO model, we have three streams of revenue, and the last piece of revenue is profit share. As soon as the products are commercialized in these markets, and once we see the profit share back to us, based on the commercial success of these products, the bottom line improves significantly, and there we don't need the capacity utilization to be, say, maybe 60% or 70% for us to reach that number. So it's not necessary that it may take 4 years. I will not comment on the timeline, because again, it's too nascent of a stage to comment, but yes, it could be sooner.
Got it.
And
that's one. Yeah. Yes,
and honestly speaking, at present we have completed two phases in facility. The third phase will come still, maybe in another 12 months to 18 months, the third phase will come, because we have got at present the general onco injectable and general onco liquid oral. But still one new line we are planning, which will come in a time, so that will also give us scope for expanding the revenues.
Just one request, I'm looking at a company for the first time, but it's pretty complex in terms of multiple companies addressing multiple market segments, and the product baskets are also very different. So very difficult to get a lot of information on the call. So if you can allow for one-on-one, you know, meeting, that would be very useful. Just a request from my side.
Sure, no problem. You can always reach out to Philip Capital and get in touch with us at a later stage.
We'll do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sagar Arya from Exponent Tribe. You may proceed.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes, Sagar.
Yeah. So I have very basic questions since this is the first time I'm looking at this company and we're doing this call. Firstly, on the standalone business that we have, what portion of the business is tender driven or institutional here? Could you give us a piece?
So on the standalone level, as of now, we've maintained that split around 50%. Like every year, it's a little bit different, right? So on an average, if I have to put a number, it would be 50% institutional, 50% non-institutional.
Okay, so by institutional, you mean this is domestic focused business where you're supplying to hospitals, etc., or is it
No.
Major of the business?
So, it's a state and central government, the tenders where we directly participate. And I'm happy to tell that we are one of the strong partners to the central government's, the national program for the malaria and anti-TB and HIV, all the three measures, we have our supplies,
But outside of domestic, we have other institutional businesses in terms of exports as well.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So that's okay. That's
and we also claim ourselves that we are the largest, we are the one who have manufactured, the largest medicine kit in the world, which comprises of 48 different medicinal and surgical products, So the one box has got almost 48 products. So this is the largest kit available in the world, which we are manufacturing.
Understood. And then Varenium Health, where you're guiding around 60-65 crores of revenue. What is that business? Is that the hospital business or?
Varenium Healthcare is a branded generic business in the domestic space, and it is mainly more it's partly prescription but also partly hospital business. So there we deal with corporate chains like Apollo, NH, Manipal Group of Hospitals, RG Stones, etc. of the country, along with other multi-specialties, which are, more state-oriented as well.
Understood. And what kind of margins do we make here for Varenium Healthcare?
Varenium Healthcare broadly operates in between 30-35% or 30-40% of margin, depending on various products and various brands. So that's the broad category of margins. But yes, 30-35 would be an average margin that I can tell you.
And this is 35% EBITDA, sir, or net?
No, this would be EBITDA.
EBITDA. Okay. So the other institutional business, one that you just mentioned, tender-driven, and the export business in DPL would be about between 15-18%, and this would be about 30-35%, correct?
Yes.
In terms of EBITDA. Understood. Understood. On the Enoxil piece, when we increase our stake to 56% from 51, what is the money that we paid for that stake?
We put in roughly around 65 CR for an additional 10% stake at Enoxil. And
55. So did it 65 or 55? Sorry.
65. 64.80 to be precise.
Okay. Sorry, so 65 crore for 10% stake, and after that we have currently 56% is what you said.
Yes, yes, because there are only two parties to it, right? So we also got diluted in taking that additional 10%. So overall, right now we are looking at a 56% stake.
Understood. And this also could help me understand or give me more flavor of the portfolio here. I understand you do complex injectables 505B2, but would be great if you can just give some examples in terms of the kind of portfolios that you are doing, especially for your CDMO piece. And if we were to look at these 20-25 molecules that you're talking about, how should we be look at the addressable market? What is the visibility that you have from these molecules over the next few years? How should we as investors be looking at the growth from this over the next, say, 3-4 years?
We would not be able to give you in terms of any product details due to confidentiality reasons, obviously. But what I can do is I can tell you that we are working with products which are therapeutic, like we are, as an organization, therapeutically agnostic. We are not, since we are not front-ending any of these products, we are not into direct marketing of these products. It gives us that leverage and that freedom to get into products without being in the same therapy segments. So what that enables us to then find the right partner in that therapy area to then further market in the respective territories, which is what we have done so far. From the products that we've already signed, I would say the addressable market of overall all the molecules put together would be upwards of a few billion dollars. But again, we are talking about being the first or the second entrant in this market, and a few of them are also in the 505(b)(2) space. So we can only have a comparable market, not the direct market of it, since 505(b)(2) does not have any prior market in itself, and we have to create one. So an addressable market, I would say upwards of a few billion dollars put together of the products that we have already signed.
Okay. And these additional products that you're talking about that are there in the pipeline, are these also all injectables, or what would be the mix between oral and injectables?
So we have overall in our portfolio, the number of projects, we have a good healthy split of maybe 60-40 between injectables and oral liquids. So we have two categories, two therapeutic, sorry, two dosage forms. It's injectables and oral liquids, and in general, as well as onco category, both of them.
Okay. And what kind of revenues can we generate from this 250 crore CapEx that we've done at Oxygen?
I would say towards the peak of the organization, we are looking at an asset turnover of maybe 3-4 times of the current levels that we've invested in. So that's broadly what I can say at this moment.
Okay. So this 3-4 is basically, so on 250 crore, you're saying about 750 is what we can generate, is it?
At peak.
At peak. Okay. And when are we expected to hit that peak?
So we're looking to reach around that point in the next 5-6 years. So 2030-2031 is when we are looking at our peak revenues.
Understood, sir. Understood. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question.
Shruti, we wanted to understand, do we have a time limit on the call?
So I think you should talk to Prachi ma'am about it.
Okay. No problem. Prachi, any number of, can we take the last couple of questions?
I think we can end this question.
Prachi, the reason is I am the president of our association also, and today there is a Tirunga Yatra at Vadodara, and I have to reach there by 5:30. It's almost 5 o'clock. And we are almost 30 kilometers from Vadodara city.
Yeah, no problem. We can end it.
We can always keep a second.
Prachi, for all the questions which are remaining, you can email us, and we'll send an email response to all of them.
Sure, sure, sir.
So can I? Can I? Can I?
So on the behalf of.
Can I convey my thanks to all?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can I do that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So I'll hand over the conference to you, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you all once again for spending your valuable time with us today. We truly appreciate the thoughtful questions and the keen interest you have shown in Bharat Printers Limited and group companies. As we discussed, we are at a very important stage in our journey, deepening our focus on complex injectables, expanding our presence in regulated and emerging markets, and staying firmly committed to quality and compliances. Milestones like the successful US FDA inspection at Enoxaparin reaffirm that we are building on solid ground. I want to express my special thanks to the entire team at Phillip Capital for continued engagement and support. We deeply value the trust and confidence you place in us, and we look forward to strengthening this relationship as we move ahead. We are excited about the opportunities ahead and are committed to creating long-term, sustainable value for all our stakeholders. Thank you once again for your time, your interest, and your partnership. God bless you and all your beloved family. Jai Hind.
Thank you. On behalf of Phillip Capital India Private PCG Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.
Thank you.